Hey everyone, welcome to Local Roots this week. Today we have a really awesome interview. You might actually already know this guy. His name's Craig Gizon, and he's the guy who's probably fixed up the bike that you ride every day. He works at Rockford Bike Shop. He's actually been on the podcast before. But something you might not have known is that he's actually been a semi-professional snowboarder. In fact, on this episode, he tells us a story of how he literally knocked on Jake Burton's house in the middle of the night, and the next day, he was given the suit to go ride pro. You got to hear it for yourself, so buckle up. We got a great episode this week. Let's get into it. All right, Brian, you can kick us off.
It's been a while. Welcome to 2021. You are listening to the Local Roots Podcast.
Wow. Brian, this is a brand new year. You know what? We're almost a whole year of doing the podcast. Isn't that crazy to think about?
It blows my mind that it's almost a year, but it also blows my mind that we haven't even done this a year yet.
So on one hand, it's like, how did we make it this far with like not one getting sick of each other and two just like having the wherewithal to like do an episode just about every week? Can't say actually every week. I don't know. It's crazy. It's fun though. I'm really impressed of our, like, honestly, in the back of my head when we started, I was like, this will be fun for like 6 months, and then
that's exactly what I thought.
Brian will get sick of it, and then I'll get sick of it, and then Brian will get into it again, but then I'll be sick of it, and then I'll be into it again. But it really hasn't been that way. I feel like we've both had fun maybe like a small lull here and there, but like
we had a small lull, yeah. But I remember the first podcast we did together. I remember driving over your house, and Alexa was like, "What are you doing? It's Sunday." And I mean, she's like, "Why do you have a bunch of beer? And why are you leaving the house at like 6 o'clock at night in a snowstorm?" I'm like, "Oh, Lear and I are going to go record our podcast." She's like, "Okay, go have fun, kids."
Yes.
And now here we are. So,
and now I treat it like, Amber, I'm sorry, I got to go downstairs and do the podcast.
Oh, same. I was talking to my cousin and I was like, "Alexa, I got to go pod." And she's like, "Oh yeah, honey, you got to get going." And I was like, "Yep."
What are both of the fans going to do if we don't have a episode this week?
I don't know what they're going to listen to. It's, you know, it's crazy.
Last thing on that note, I just wanted to say, I just looked. I think our next episode will be exactly a year since we launched.
We have to do something special.
We really should. We won't. I know we won't, but we should.
No kidding.
All right, now please introduce our guests. I feel bad whenever anyone has to sit through us talking this long.
Yeah. So without further ado, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Craig. Craig, introduce yourself.
Mr. Craig, is that what you go by?
Yeah. Craig Eats in here, yeah. You guys really must be hurting for people to interview, but I'm excited to be here and share a few stories with you. So,
yeah, it was just to fill everyone in, we did the episode at Rockford Bike Shop and you had to go home a little bit, and I was like so into the conversation when you were there for like just 20 minutes or so, and they're like, "Okay, I gotta go." So you left us like savoring at the mouth. We're like,
"I know,
we gotta have more Craig.
What are all of these snowboard stories that Craig is alluding to?" And we cannot wait to hear them. Quick, just like intro, I guess, for you. I mean, listeners in the GR area, I'm sure you guys know who Craig Eatson is. He is, you know, basically the Terminator on the bike. I don't think you'll ever pass him. But he is the Jedi mechanic over at Rockford Bike Shop. If you need anything fixed, go check him out. And he might even play some guitar for you. You never know. You also sell your own nutrition.
Yeah, I got the Geese bars in the shop. Yep. It's a craft granola bar I make. And
I like that.
Yeah, come by for a sample. And I got a lot of people that like them for like a long distance races and whatnot. So Geese bar. Yep. Geesebar.com.
It's like you gave me one last time and I was like, yum. It's like Brian, I think you're about to say what I'm about to say. It's like a better Cliff Bar.
I was going
to
say, think Cliff Bar meets like No Bake Cookie. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, they're awesome. Delish.
So, Well, all right, Craig, let's dive into some of these, you know, it's the snow is falling. You know, some people are out fat biking. A lot of guys are out shredding skis or snowboards.
Yeah.
We had a major loss in the snowboard community last season with, you know, Jake Burton. And Craig, you said that you had quite a few awesome stories. So let's hear them.
Well, yeah. So, I mean...
Start us on the adventure. How did you?
Yeah, exactly.
How did you get to meet Jake Burton?
Okay, well, I'm gonna just get back to how we started snowboarding a little bit, and then it'll kind of lead into that. So,
okay. Did you invent the snowboard?
No, did not invent it.
Okay. I'm teasing.
We did see the Burton boards in a magazine, and there was also Sims snowboards at the same time. It was probably 1979 and 1980. We saw him. We also saw him in a shop in the mall called Bill and Paul's Sports. They're still around, but so we saw those, and we had this awesome hill over in Ada. A good friend of mine and I, we used to skateboard and bike and do all kinds of crazy stuff together. And you know, we were actually into more like extreme sledding. You know, before the snowboard. So we'd have those red sleds, and we'd be flying down this hill, and we'd hit these huge jumps, you know, so we'd have to like deck them out with like pads because our butts would like,
oh my God. I was just going to ask, were you sitting down? You were?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were standing.
Yeah.
So then when we discovered the snowboards, just like, we knew we had to have them. And he got the Burton backhill, and I saw the Sims, that I wanted in like Skateboarder magazine. So I had ordered that, and it took a super long time for it to come. So he had his Burton board, and I had an old Snurfer.
Can you explain that real quick? I only know because like I'm a podcast nerd, and I listened to like Jake Burton podcast where he explained it all about the Snurfer, but I don't know if everyone else would know. So can you explain that real quick?
So the Snurfers were like, they look like a water ski, and they're actually made in Muskegon, and had a rope on them and some it's like basically staples to hold your feet in place. So I
just
super glue your feet to the board.
Right. Or yeah. So I actually took a bungee cord and made a thing so I could put my feet under it. While I was still waiting for my Sims to come in the mail, and my buddy had his Burton board. So we had this super awesome hill over in Ada that we used to go, you know, like I said, it started out sledding, and then we evolved into snowboarding. We had already been into skateboards and stuff like that, so it was kind of a natural progression. Mm. But so we would, you know, once I got my board, we were out there every day. We, you know, building jumps, and you know, we would have, you know, when we got fresh snow, it was just amazing. Cause you know, back in those days, they didn't have quite the technology, you know, so you could edge and stuff. So it was, the powder really made it a lot more fun. So
something you just said that I gotta ask, did you really go right to jumps? It wasn't just the fact that you're standing up going down the hill that was enough adrenaline. You're like, okay, we're going right to jumps.
Well, I mean, it wasn't big jumps, but yeah, we were definitely trying stuff. So
sure. That's awesome.
So yeah, we would get out there every day. You know, we were still in high school, so we would get out there every day after school and do it. And then so eventually we learned about the Snurfer competition that was going to be at Pando. It actually had been going on for a couple of years, but we weren't quite in the loop then. But we realized that we could bring our snowboards out there and compete in this. And so we were looking forward to that.
What was the competition?
Go ahead, Brad.
Sorry. Yeah, what was the competition? Was it timed, or was it like based on style?
Yeah, it was back in the old days. It was all timed. There were no freestyle events.
Mm. Okay.
So basically, there's a start and a finish, and they did have a technically they called it a slalom, but it had like two slight turns in the course because turning wasn't really that easy back then. So if you could navigate a couple slight turns and get to the bottom, you were in pretty good shape. You know, back in the early days, they didn't really have timing systems. They had a stopwatch and, you know, maybe a guy at the top with a walkie-talkie that said go and the guy at the bottom with a stopwatch. So it could be
nice.
You know, it could be off by a half second easy, but, you know.
That rules.
So anyways.
Wait, real quick on that note, was it hard to find a place to, it had to be like a, find a place to use your snurfers? Like, I mean, obviously they weren't trendy yet or well accepted, and you're not going to take that like on a bigger hill probably. Correct. What was that like?
So we were only going on our hill that was in our neighborhood.
Sure.
And
okay.
The one day a year they would, Pando would open it up to the competition. At this point.
So they let skiers there then, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. I mean, it was a ski area back in the day. And then this was, you know, they didn't let snowboards or surfers go on a daily basis by any means.
I can't imagine that. Leary, have you ever been to Pando?
No, I gotta say, the appeal of tow ropes to me as of late is zero. Isn't it all tow ropes there?
It was.
It's not closed now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But like when I remember I went once with, like Leary, some of our like really old friends, like Shane and Justin and CJ.
Yeah.
Anyways,
did CJ break his arm there like four times?
I'm sure everyone did because like one of the easier things to do there, I remember, was like you like
to break grind, your arm. It was so easy.
Grind like the top of a bus, and that was like nothing. It wasn't like a big deal, and it had a bunch of other like crazy shit there. But like, Craig, what I'm thinking is that like when I was there, there was like nobody there except like crazy hardcore park snowboarders and skiers.
It was pretty cool for that because they would let you build, you know, sweet jumps, and they were pretty liberal out there. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Some bandit features for sure. Cool. We derailed you, but.
No, that's all right. I'm just kind of on the train of thought of the competition. So we were ready for the competition that day. You know, we didn't really know what to expect. So we pull in the driveway and we pull in next to this old Volvo and it had Vermont plates on it. We're like, oh, you know, it's like, dude, these guys came all the way from Vermont, you know?
Damn.
It's
like,
so, you know, we get out and we realize it's like, you know, the kind of the Burton team, you know, that there was at this point in time. Jake wasn't actually there for this competition. I believe he did come to one either the year before, and I'm not sure if that one was in Muskegon or at Pando, but I know Jake had been to one. So anyways, we met these guys, and it was some of the Chris Carroll and Andy Coughlin. Andy Coughlin was one of the guys that built snowboards for Jake in the early days, and he was actually one of the best snowboarders around as well. So we met those guys, and that was pretty cool. And they were cool to us. And we told them we were thinking about coming to Vermont for the for the competition, and they encouraged us to do so. And you know, we had a really fun day at that Pando competition. I don't actually remember how we all ended up. I know pretty sure one of those guys won it, and me and my friend Chris were in the top five or something, but it was
a lot of fun. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's nothing to be snubbed at.
Yeah. So we got a nickname called the Michigan Boys. So Chris and I kind of adopted that, you know, that title. And, you know, we had our plans set to go to Vermont like about a month later for the first big competition out there. So we were pretty stoked.
That is wild. So you guys just started snowboarding and you're like, F it. Let's compete right away.
Yeah. Well, we had been doing it a couple years. So
okay.
We thought we were pretty decent at it. We really didn't know, like I said, until we got to this competition. And we were in the game, you know, we weren't getting, you know, schooled or anything. So you know, we went out to Vermont, and so it was me and my friend Chris and another friend from high school. We loaded up my old Camaro and we headed, you know, it was weird back then because it's not like you get on the internet and make make reservations or anything. And we were only like 18 and we had never really traveled. So we got, you know, we found like a travel agent and got a hotel. Wow. We didn't know
an actual travel agent. Instead of fax?
I don't know. I mean, they set it up for us. We had a reservation and we were pretty stoked. So, yeah. So we drove to Vermont and we got there in the evening. I can't remember. This was 84, 1984. Okay. So we got to town and we were pretty stoked because the drinking age in Vermont was 18, which I think was probably that, and maybe like Hawaii or Alaska was the only states you could do that. So we were like, as soon as we got to town, we hit the party store and got a case of beer. So and then we're in the little town of Manchester, and that's where the Burton boards were made. And it was a real small town. So we found, where the Burton,
Boys.
I guess it was the factory, but it was basically Jake's house with a barn out back. So, and there's a little sign hanging out that says Burton Snowboard. So, it was getting dark. It was probably, just in the evening, and we went and knocked on the door and his wife answered and we said, hey, is Jake around? Or, what do you say? We're
yeah.
For it. So,
hey, we came to play.
We're here. So she's like, the guys are out back in the barn. And she goes, feel free to go out and bang on the door. And so we did. And one of the guys that we saw from Pando answered the door. And it's like, hey, it's the Michigan boys. They got beer. And,
hell yeah.
So they invited us in and kind of showed us around. They were actually working on the starting gate for the competition. So.
Whoa. So that could have gone the exact opposite, but that's like the dream scenario. Like, imagine trying to do something like that today. You would probably get like shot on.
Oh yeah,
site. Like they would see you in their Ring doorbell. They would have that on their phone, and then they'd get a beep beep on their phone, and it would send a photo of you looking like a Sasquatch in the front door, and then the police are called before you can even say hey. You gotta miss that a little, right? Just like, when's the last time you went to someone's house unannounced?
Not very often. Usually at least you text them or something. Or
You came over to my house unannounced, Larry.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
On my birthday. And it was one of the best surprises. I've told you this, but so our listeners know, Larry is the man and made my entire birthday. He came and delivered after seeing Craig, actually.
Because I did see Craig right before.
And he bought me the Gary Fish book. And he hand-delivered it, a Gary Fisher book with a massive bottle of High Life.
Yes, I was going to say, that's not even the best part, is the champagne of beers in a champagne bottle.
Which I'm letting that age for quite some time.
Yes, as Miller High Life gets much better.
High Life gets better as it gets older.
But it does say like 2020 on it. That will be worth saving.
I really want to save it.
Yeah.
I'm at least saving the bottle if I don't, get tuned up and like open and drink it one day. But anyways.
Yeah, getting back to it, you were. I mean, we definitely derailed that, but that's wouldn't be the podcast without derailing. So
that's what we do.
I know, it's perfect. So you're in there, you're hanging out with the guys. Like you said, they're working on the gate and stuff. Like, was it the shop? Yeah, like
what was the vibe? Like, were they like, hell yeah, Michigan boys? Or were they like,
it was cool. I mean, we were a little nervous, so we were just trying to, be chill and not stir anything up. And, we said, what should we do tomorrow? We wanted to go, find a place to actually snowboard, which was cool about Vermont was there was actually places that did let you go on the lifts out there at that time.
Nice.
So they sent us up to Killington, which was maybe an hour drive from where we were staying, but it was definitely worth it. I mean, so this was like the first time we'd ever been on like a chairlift. I mean, we had skied before, as kids, but on a snowboard, we were up on a chairlift and, getting multiple runs in a day where, back in the neighborhood, we were walking up, the hill every time. So
yeah,
it was a lot of work, but
it's mind blowing.
Yeah. So we experienced Killington and our first time on ski hills with chairlifts, and it was quite amazing back then, because, you know, being a snowboarder and, you know, there weren't many people snowboarding, and, you know, the skiers were kind of looking at you like you're a freak. You know, asking you all kinds of questions, you know, it's like, is that hard? Is that fun? Is that expensive?
Yeah.
You know, ski patrol hassle you at all?
Not too much. I mean, I think they did have a sort of quarantined to one hill, but we weren't really, you know, complaining about it too much. So
okay,
just kind of happy to be there, right?
We were definitely happy to be riding a chair.
Oh heck yeah,
so, yeah!
Like all the old snowboard videos, they're like, you know, F the ski patrol, like they're like out to get them.
Yeah, it definitely got to be that way at some point, but you know, we all kind of, you know, especially getting in with the Burton gang, they really put it into our mindset that, you know, we're here representing the sport, let's not wreck it, you know. So there were a few rebels out there that were causing some trouble, but we tried
causing a ruckus.
Yeah, we tried to stay on the, you know, the right side of the, you know, the law.
Propelled the sport. Yeah, that's good. Yes.
I got a quick comment. So I always used to think that Sheeny Creek was a no rules kind of place. I found out there's a rule. Do not bring your beer out of your jacket as soon as you sit on the lift. Okay. They don't like that, but he did let me chug it and then throw it away. But he stopped the lift and made everybody like look at me. So just so anyone knows going to Shane Creek, wait a second, or be prepared.
He made an example of you, huh?
Made an example of me, yes. And
but he let you chug it? That's kind of cool.
He's like, hey, throw the beer or chug it.
So like, okay. They had to wait like 5 minutes for you to chug a beer to get the lift going again?
Right. So lucky for them, it was like only a quarter full. So we only had to wait 2 minutes.
2 minutes, good.
Yes.
Oh man, another, I think our Zoom might have froze on Craig.
No, I'm here.
He's here. Okay. There we go.
So let's see, back to the story. Anyways, so after we did our day up at Killington, we made it over to we were probably a day before the competition. That was at a little ski resort in Vermont called Snow Valley. And I believe it wasn't actually even open at the time of the competition, but they did turn the lift on so we could use it for the competition. And a lot of the people were coming in from, you know, around the country, and it was pretty cool. You know, we saw a lot of, not a lot of guys from the West Coast, but a handful came over, and, you know, Tom Sims came with some of his riders. So that was pretty sweet. You know, we had seen like Tom Sims and some of the magazines. So he was like, you know, kind of one of our heroes as well. And he brought some of his guys, but it seemed pretty much, it was kind of like the East Coast on Burton boards versus the West Coast on Sims boards. But, and there was a few little other boards companies represented as well, but that seemed to be the main thing.
Were there any others?
Okay, Larry.
I hate Zoom so much.
I know. It's like just enough lag to like,
because you want to be polite, so you wait for a gap, but then both of us are doing that. So then immediately, you go first. I didn't even have anything good.
Mike, were the Burton guys and the Sims guys like, were they bros, or did they like hate each other? Was it like Cobra Kai shit where they're like?
No, I don't think anybody really hated each other. I think we didn't really know each other. So we did all seem to get along pretty good. So, you know, we were eager to meet each other and hang out and party a bit. And so, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Was the board tech similar?
The Sims were slightly different, different shape. They were both, neither of them had full metal edges at this first event. Shortly after that, they definitely took a step up in technology, but for the most part, they were, you know, they were the same, but slightly different. So
I know if like somebody was like vastly ahead of the other brand.
No. So
I was curious, what were the other contenders? Like you said, Sims and Burton, is there anyone who's still around? I know K2 was probably early on the scene. Who else do you remember that's still a major player today?
Well, some of the other boards back then, there was a company called Barfoot. And they were
never heard of it.
They were kind of along the lines of, I think him and Sims were kind of working together, so they weren't a whole lot different. I think Sims had a little more money going because they had the skateboard company, but so there was Avalanche boards. I don't know that they're around today. And there's Kemper, I think.
Okay. Kemper's around.
Just a couple that I can think of. But yeah, that's about all I can think of at the moment. So
interesting.
Was K2 around then for snowboards?
I think shortly after this.
Okay.
You know, a lot of
they probably
boards,
caught on after.
Yeah, a lot of boards.
Once they saw there's money in it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess like K2 and Rozzy like joined about the same time, and
probably so. Yeah, but yeah, a lot happened really quick. You know, from being real basic snowboards to, you know, to stepping up their game as far as the bases and the metal edges and the bindings. I mean, you know, we were trying all kinds of things to make the bindings better by,
sure,
you know, putting just to make them work better for us. And then Burton was using them in their production, you know, like a year later. So every year it was
the guinea pigs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was the technology was growing by leaps and bounds every year. So
cool. Did we have more to that before we change subjects? I'll wait.
So anyways, so the snowboarding competition happened, like, let's say the next day after we got to check out the ski area. And one day, so there were two events. There was a slalom and a downhill. So the slalom, you know, one really cool part about it that I remember was just before the race, Jake came up to my friend Chris and I and threw us the Burton speed suit, you know, which kind of meant we were on the team. So
dope. Yeah, like the one piece, like,
yeah, the red I don't know if it was Lycra or whatever it was, but we were official, man.
Speed suit. That's awesome. You still have it?
Oh, no. yeah. I don't
know. No. Lost it on that trip, probably. Party tour.
I had it for a couple of years. But so we did the competition. I remember getting, you know, top 10, I think, in both events.
Nice.
So I was pretty stoked about that. And then
and cool.
my buddy did equally well or better in one event, or, you know, vice versa. But we both had a pretty good competition. And from there, Jake asked us if we wanted to go to Lake Tahoe for the World Championships.
Cool.
And we were pretty stoked about that. And, you know, he goes, you guys get out there, I'll have a condo and food and, you know, cover the entries and the lift tickets and whatnot. So that was pretty awesome. So we were on kind of a roll, and we just like felt like we were, you know, pretty big shots. So it was pretty
yeah,
fun.
Of course. Why wouldn't you feel like a big shot? That's
a big deal. That's cool.
That's like, I mean, being on the precipice of like a new sport and stuff and having those opportunities, like, just, that's so cool to like hear about. I'm already like so excited about it. Wait, so you went to Utah after? How many of those did you do?
Actually, it was Tahoe.
Sorry. Tahoe. Utah. What
the, okay. Yeah, that's right.
It both has a T sound, right?
It's got a T and an A, yeah. There's mountains, there's snow.
So yeah, that was really awesome. I mean, and it was just a really cool vibe. It was another small ski area that I don't even know you know, it's probably not even on the map. I think it was called Soda Spring. I'm not even in business anymore, but they just, I mean, they had so much snow out there and it was sunny and it was just amazing, amazing scene. So
were you just like, what would you call that? Is it like an unofficial pro? There were probably like semi pros, but you're like featured in magazines or whatever. Like, just like, what would you call that?
I mean, I guess we were the top end of the sport at that point.
You had to be.
You were a pro.
You know, we weren't making much money. There was a little bit of prize money. There was the biggest thing is we were getting free stuff, and that was pretty cool. You know,
yeah.
we would leave with a couple boards, a nice jacket. You know, we got some perks as far as the, you know, to travel and go to these events. And, you know, and the next year, you know, came around and, you know, they sent us a letter and said, you know, you're qualified to pick, you know, two boards, you know, two pieces, you know, whatever. We got a bunch of free stuff and we were stoked. I mean, it was like Christmas.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
And it was cool to be like at the first world championships of snowboarding. And
put us there, please. I gotta hear about it.
So that you were at, that was the first world championship of snowboarding.
As far as I know. Yeah.
What you just described was the world championship or was that later?
The Lake Tahoe one.
The Lake Tahoe was. Okay. Yeah. Do you remember how you did it there, or is it still just consistent top 10 or?
Yeah, I got a top 10 in the downhill.
I finished at 31.37 seconds and I
I don't know, but some of these courses were like, you know, you see like a ski race today and they're like a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. We were like, we were like 25 seconds. So it was, we were like bombing these hills and, it was pretty sketchy. I mean,
imagine
strapped to these snowboards going, you know, 50 miles an hour. And, you know,
wearing your speed suit and you're just gone. Yeah.
Just a power flex of like focus.
Super speed levels.
Yeah. I have an old thrasher that has the results in it. So that's sort of like my, one of my, you know, memoirs of that.
Oh, that rules.
I would love to see that.
Can you send us a pic for the Instagram?
Yeah, send us a photo.
Sure, yeah. I think I was like seventh or something, but yeah, it's pretty sweet.
It's so cool.
It really is amazing. Just like I keep going back to this without having an actual point, but just like being at the precipice of this too. It's like one thing that you were like featured and up there, but it's just like, it's also new for everyone too. But not only is it a new thing, but you're like at the top levels of this new thing. Like, you're imagine it's just it. Like, I mean,
we were definitely at the right place at the right time. And, you know, as the sport progressed, you know, there's definitely better athletes and, you know, people that trained harder and smarter and had, you know, coaches and took it to the next level. And we got passed by at some point, but we definitely made the best of it while we had the opportunity.
And what
it was kind of cool to see some of these other big names come about, you know, as we were just kind of still in it, like people like, you know, Craig Kelly and Sean Palmer and Bert Lamar and, you know, like that, like I said, when we started out, it was just, you know, slalom and downhill. And then the freestyle events started to come about, you know, kind of about when we were, getting done at our national level of competitions. But now if in the sport of snowboarding you see it's either half pipe or slope style. There's there's hardly any racing events that you know see anymore.
The racing now is like it's like a long snake trail, and like at the top of every little bump you're like soaring like 40 feet and then you're back in it. Like, those are so fun to watch.
They have those like 9 feet long boards.
Like the border crosses.
And, border cross. Yeah.
Border cross.
Yeah, that rules.
Okay. So just to talk about some snowboarding competitions on the not national level, you know, when we, you know, would compete around here, we would, there were some competitions at Pando or Cannonsburg, or there was a little ski area over in Grand Haven called Mulligan's Hollow that put on some competitions. And we kind of had a little rivalry with some of the Grand Haven people. There was a
beef.
Yeah, no. Anyways, they were riding these boards called swing bows. Whoa. And they weren't really quite like snowboards, but they were almost like a skateboard with skis on the bottom.
Whoa. Was it like a modern day like snow skate sort of deal?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
And
that's sweet.
And you know, because snowboard, you know, everyone was coming out with new ideas, so there wasn't really any actual, you know, rules of what you could use to compete. So we were some of us snowboarders were going, you know, head to head with the swing bow crew, and it was pretty cool rivalry. And so we would have like a weekly series, and we would go out there once a week and do that, and it was pretty fun.
What were the difference like was it better at like turning, or was it faster? Were there any advantages to one over the other? Like obviously it didn't stick around too well, so something wasn't great on those.
Yeah, I mean they looked like fun. I never really tried it. They could turn really tight. I don't know how great they were on icier terrain, which we have a lot of around here, but and I don't think they were as fast, just like cruising. Okay. But I mean, there were sometimes a certain course setup would favor them, or it would favor the snowboard. But, you know, it was cool that we were just all doing our thing and competing and, you know, having fun and whatnot. So,
yeah, for sure.
Larry, have you ever been in any competitions for snowboarding?
No. I my little brother did. He was on CMU's like snowboard team or whatever.
Oh yeah, he did.
So he did racing.
Speaking of your little brother, RIP to his MCL.
Yeah, speaking of snowboarding and Alex. Alex has a new 50-50 broken chance. Something. Yeah, every year he breaks pops a shoulder out, something. Do you remember? Of course you remember. We're both scarred for life. Brian and I were like, what? Halfway through a day, if that?
Not even. It was a quarter of the day. Like we were on beer number like 3, I think. So like to put that into perspective. This was like we were freshly, at least I was freshly 21. So Larry, you're probably 22.
We were having a blast at the hill.
We get the grill going, we get some wieners going, we're getting ready to grill, and we're like, oh, let's go somewhere, you know, a couple more runs, then we'll come back. And we're in the little park at Crystal, and Alex like caught like a
little
edge.
Little park like, needs to be all right, no, so like not, it was not the big jumps, nothing, no, like the little starter kids park where it's just like nothing you could get hurt on.
You could go across wink. Your belly and would not get hurt. Like it's fine. Yes,
everything is like a foot off the ground, but Alex
somehow like over rotated his body by like 270 degrees and like popped your shoulder out somehow.
Landed right on his shoulder. And then he's crying. He's so like just like vividly screaming and
yelling at ski patrol, "Don't fucking touch me. No, I need help. I need help. Don't touch me."
Yes, exactly like that. And then he maintained that same attitude because the closest hospital to Crystal, by the way, the closest ER is in Traverse City. So that was a good 50 minutes in the car of me driving my absolute best. But like every time I hit like the smallest bump on the road,
"Leary, slow down. Hey, wait, Leary, what are you doing? My shoulders hurt. You need to get to the ER faster." "Oh, yes. No, it hurts. Slow down."
If I was going slow and steady, I wasn't going fast enough because he needed to get to the ER fast. And if I was going fast, I was going too fast because it hurt. And there was nothing in the middle.
Anyone that knows Alex, I think, can relate to what we're talking about.
Just, it was traumatic. It was more traumatic for Brian and I than it. And Brian, you had an option to stay there.
I did.
I think half the crew stayed there, and for some reason you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna be a good guy and come." Well, how much do you regret that?
Because I like to think we got the office streaming in the ER somewhere.
Oh my god. Yeah, we're waiting in the ER and there's a
computer somewhere.
Like a nurse's station or something, and I logged into my Netflix on there to watch The Office while we were waiting. So
I think that's I just fun. Knew how shitty of a time you were about to have, and I was like, ah, I gotta help him out.
I know. You were too nice. You were helping me out just so it wasn't just me and Alex stuck in the ER, and I'm very grateful for that, yeah. But I almost wish you didn't, because I feel bad that you put yourself through. And we didn't get home till like 2 a.m. that night.
Oh, it was late. Because, yeah, we drove back to, I think we went to Owasso then.
I know. So that anyways. Just a quick aside about why it's not a surprise, Alex. You said, what did he do over the weekend?
I'm pretty sure he tore his MCL.
Yeah, of course he did.
Lost, like, rotating. He texted me this morning. He's like, hey, I think I feel better. I think I'm going to be able to snowboard at the end of this month. And I was like, okay, bud. Let's wait till your doctor appointment tomorrow. But we were talking about competitions. I entered a competition before. I was in a rail jam at Cabre Fay. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I made it to the finals.
Wait, no, you didn't, really?
Yeah, when? I did. In my prime, so like 10 years ago. And ate shit in finals, obviously. Didn't get to, you know, do anything cool. The winner, I still remember, was this like young kid who was like made of bouncy balls or something. And he like backflipped like off a rail, like from a different rail. And it was like,
oh my geez.
Physics were only possible if you weighed like 50 pounds. And, but this kid kicked everyone's ass, and he totally deserved to win. And it was really cool to watch.
That is cool.
That was fun. I've done
I definitely had a number of injuries that kind of slowed me down on the snowboarding front over the years.
What kind of injuries have you had?
You know, we're guinea pigs out there for the, you know, the greater advancement of the sport. But
try these new bindings, Craig. They'll be great for you.
Yeah, Craig took some hits so that we took less hits in our generation.
I had a good ankle injury. I had a definitely a shoulder that would pop out on occasion. and definitely slowed me down. You know, I still, you know, get out and snowboard, but I'm not doing anything too crazy anymore. So
now, did you get into the freestyle riding?
You know, I enjoyed riding some half pipe type stuff, but it was nothing like the half pipes are today. But yeah, you know, I just would, you know, enjoy cruising down and getting some air or doing some lip tricks or whatever. Sure. So, but it's really amazing to see how these half pipes have evolved from what we were, you know, riding in, and, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. So
have you been on like a modern day, like super pipe recently?
No, I have never been on one. I did get out to Vail a couple years ago for the US for the Burton competition, and got to watch that.
You were out there? Awesome.
Yeah. I got to see Jake. You know, I guess, you know, it was cool to see him before he passed.
Oh my gosh. So,
yeah.
How often did you guys stay in touch then?
You know, not a lot. I bet, you know, 20 years had probably gone by since I talked to him. But, you know, when we got out there, and, you know, we ran into him at one of his fundraiser events. And, you know, he remembered us. And, you know, so that was pretty cool. We talked about some old times. And, I mean, I didn't know he was, you know, that ill at that point. I guess it took a turn for the worse, you know, after that. But, you know, him and Tom Sims have both passed, and you know, they're quite pioneers of the sport. So
right, yeah, it's insane. What exactly was it? Do you remember? I know he had like it was like an odd thing that he recovered from, but then he got sick again, right?
Yeah, well, he had that odd thing that you were talking about, and I don't know what it was. Some sort of just. His whole body like reacted funny to something. Right. And then he had also, I think it was testicular cancer, if I'm not mistaken, that took him finally. But
well, we owe him for a sport that we love, at least.
That's for sure.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and plenty of other people, but obviously we give him a testament for pioneering for the most part, right?
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Craig, how often do you are you shredding nowadays?
You know, I've only been out once this year. I went with the guys from the shop. Yep. I I hope to get out, you know, a few more times. It's nice when I can get out west, you know, even if
I can imagine.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen all that often, but I did get out there a couple times over the last 5 years or so to Vail for the US Open, and probably won't Sweet. Happen this year, but I'd like to get out, you know, even with you guys or something, and just
absolutely
love to.
So what are you pushing nowadays? Do you still have any brand affinity?
Yeah, I mean, I have a Burton custom
classic, you know, classic.
I haven't got the George just got the Stepan bindings and whatnot.
Oh, did he?
I'll probably get on that next year or something. But
what do you guys think about those?
He really loves them.
Yeah.
So
I've heard they're sweet.
I haven't tried them yet, but you know, so
after talking to George at the shop on Thursday, when Alexa and I were up at Cheney Creek Saturday this weekend, there was this guy in front of me who had him, and I asked him, and he was like, "Dude, they are a game changer. I thought I had to put the snowboard down." He's an older guy, and he's like, "These are like I'm gonna snowboard till I die." And I was like, "Yes, we all have to get them soon."
Yeah. Wow. Damn.
DC Boots now makes boots that are compatible with the Step-On. So
that's the thing, is the cost barrier is, yeah. So
the cost barrier is pretty big. The bindings themselves are cheap. Well, relatively cheap. I think they're about $200.
That's worth it.
But the boots are, you know, north of $300. And I don't know, like I'm used to paying like $150 for a nice pair of boots.
Yeah.
So $300, you know, you're looking at, you know, maybe, you know, $500 to $600 for a system, and you're like, yeah,
that's as much or more than my board. So maybe
yeah. Yeah, but I don't know if they're sweet.
It's hard
sweet.
Because I love the idea, but I just got new bindings last year. I just got new boots this year, so now I'm gonna have to like wear these into the ground before I can justify it. But
yeah, there you go. Just use them a lot, and you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, Craig, we have expensive hobbies, don't we?
Don't we? Between mountain biking and snowboarding, it's like, geez.
mountain biking maybe, takes the cake, though.
I was gonna say. Well, I don't know, because your bike is more at the beginning, but it's free to ride it. You just pay for repair here and there.
You got
to
factor in travel. Yeah,
snowboarding is like,
yeah, the lift tickets get expensive,
especially this year. What the hell is going on? Have you guys seen all this? I haven't been out once. Obviously, I had a baby, but. I've seen pictures and it's nuts.
Even Cabra Faye last weekend was freaking 70 bones to go. I think Shaney was like 85. And then, you know, you want to go to Nubs or Crystal, you're looking at like 95. And it's like, what the hell?
Wow. And it's and like
some of the lip lines are crazy as well.
That's what I was saying, Craig. The price is like, I get they have to like make up for margins, but it's not like you get the same experience for that price. It's 10 times worse. It's like the lines are insane.
Yeah. Part of me just wants to walk up the hill like the old days.
My man. I love it.
Well, that's what we used to do. We used to take one lift up and then just take that ride like to the park. And then we would just walk up and down the park for like hours and hours.
Like all day.
Like I can't, our legs must've been like freaking beefy as hell.
Yeah,
I can't imagine doing that now.
Good exercise, that's for
it
sure.
It really was, because we would just like we would go for like just like the length of like a box and a jump, and then unstrap and like run up the hill. We were just so like excited quick. To get back down. Yeah, we're like, oh, I gotta try that again. Like, because you'd either just like you'd nail a rotation perfectly, so you want to get up and do it again, or you'd miss it and you'd be like, okay, I just need to correct it by like this much. I know exactly what I did wrong. So you'd go up and do that. And it was just, we were doing like crazy stuff. It was just like trying to master a 360 or trying to do like a 360 like on the box, 180 slide. Off. And yeah.
Yeah. But we used to eat like some serious shit.
Oh,
we'd
yeah.
Like, we'd get up and like, let's go. And that was before we would like really start drinking heavily.
Thank God. That's why we were so into it, right? Yeah, we didn't have alcohol to weigh us down. Yeah.
But that also I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, we were actually in pain then. We didn't have anything to numb it.
That too. Oh, man. But do you remember, what? That's what I miss, is having something when you're in the park and you can like, one day you 50-50, but the next day you board slide. And every time you leave the hill, we were like, well, today I did this new. And you don't really have that anymore, mainly because I'm a baby and I don't want to try anything new. But I don't know. I need something else like that in my life. I guess biking's close because you can
injuries aren't as much fun as they used to be. That's for sure.
It's like 10 times longer to recover.
No, they're not. Yeah. I ate shit. It's my one of the worst snowboard wipeouts I've had recently. It was Saturday. Just off like a really small like side hill. Like, nothing big. It wasn't a bunch of air. But I went to spin and like my board got caught. So like my body weight. Anyway, long story short, I ended up on my back really hard. And I laid there and I was like, fuck. And I'm like, first thing I do, I'm wiggling my toes. I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm like wiggling my fingers, moving my neck. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm not that bad. And then I get up and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm alive. Like, it was terrible. But it sucked. And I wasn't like used to that. Knocked the wind out of me and everything.
Yeah. Welcome
haven't had
to
that in a while, but it happened all the time when we used to do like park shit all the time.
Yeah. It just, your body like recoiled. You just didn't even care.
Yeah. I was just like, oh God, it was like, it feels like again.
Black Panther. How he like, when he gets punched, it like just goes into his suit and then it comes it's back purple. Out. Yeah. That's what we were like when we were younger. We'd fall and it would just go in and then we'd let it out on the hill even twice as hard.
I like that. Yeah. Our bones are green. They just bend a little. Okay. Sorry. big derailment there.
No apologies. Yes, there.
Craig, before you got to go, and Leary, before you've got to tend to your beautiful new baby, Craig, tell us a little bit about this. You've got a big event coming up tomorrow.
It's not a huge event, but it's something we look forward to for the – we're doing the Winter Fat Bike Series at Canonsburg.
What's the first one? What's a big
first
deal?
First one, yep.
You've got to set precedent. You've got to kick ass.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. You do a couple laps. It's basically a time trial, and you know, we gets the guys together, gets us out of the house in the winter, and you know, hang out, have a couple drinks when we're done or whatever. And so,
very cool. What's the lap look like at Canonsburg for fat biking?
I'm probably
not using the whole thing, obviously, especially some of that pretty steep stuff's got to be hard.
Using the whole mountain bike trail, but they do groom a certain section of it for fat biking as well as it's probably a 2 mile loop they'll use for the race. Okay. And then you can have a choice of doing a one lap race or a 2 lap race. So, you know, it might take a half an hour or something for the event. Usually we'll do a warm up and then the race and then we'll go hang out. And so, yeah.
So is this open or is this a closed event?
Anybody can sign up.
Okay.
So,
and when is it something that we want to advertise here or is it more
it starts tomorrow and it's going to run every Tuesday through, you know, for 6 or 7 weeks. I can't exactly remember, but I'm sure you can find it on Canonsburg's, one of their pages. So
cool. It sounds like a cool event. If I had a fat bike, that sounds up my alley. Cause it's not long. What?
How is fat bike racing? Like if I'm used to getting like hearing on your left on a normal like bike race, am I going to hear on your left on a fat bike race?
Yeah, unless you got extra fast and you're saying it to somebody else, but
like, what if? So there's no chance that like somehow I'm going to be a faster fat biker than I am a normal mountain biker.
Yeah, you're probably not.
Okay,
but you can enjoy it just as much. It is quite fun, and it's a kind of a change of pace from regular biking. And I don't do a ton of fat bike racing, but I do enjoy the little local things just to get out with my team guys and have some fun. So,
yeah. So you do a lot of fat bike riding though too, just in general, right?
I pretty much only do it in the winter. I'm not on a year round like some people, but I'm blessed with that. I have a lot of bikes. So, you know, working at the bike shop and whatnot. So yeah.
Sweet. Sorry, Larry, I cut you off.
No apologies needed. I was curious, what would you say the difference is snow biking? I'm calling it snow biking to differentiate. Like, because you said a 2 mile loop there, what is the energy exposed of like 2 miles versus like regular mountain biking then? Like, does 2 miles feel like 5 miles or?
No, not really.
It's just that's what happens to be groomed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's
in that
there's
case awesome. That does sound my alley then, because I'm pretty good at biking in like a mile burst, but then I'm dead and done.
Yeah, but it's really fun in the snow because it seems really smooth, and you know, a lot of the bumps and, you know, roots and rocks are taken out of it, and it's really peaceful out there in the snow. And so, you know, you ever want to try it, I got a bike you can take out for a spin. So
yeah, sold. Hey Craig, you're the perfect person to ask. Do you think you could throw how could I get 4-inch tires on that stash? There's got to be a way to hack into it, right?
Yeah, you'd have to do some welding, I think. But
yeah, I don't think you could clear the back at all. Yeah.
I've got a Sawzall now, so.
Yeah, I don't have quite that skill of mechanic level.
fabrication of the frame.
Well, I might know a guy, but, you know, it might be worthwhile just to get another bike. But
do you think with the 3-inch tires there's anywhere I could take it?
Sure.
Or am I going to get in trouble?
The places that groom don't really want you on there, which is like Canonsburg or Merrill, but right. Luton is pretty much fair game. Or
yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know, the state game area is not quite open yet, but I think, you know, that will be place you could ride. But I know there's other trails, but I can't really think of them off. Any place sure. that's grooming pretty much only wants, you know,
yeah.
basically 4-inch tires.
Which makes sense. So that's a lot of work, and you don't want assholes with 3-inchers drilling ruts. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I find a free mo, I don't know. I shouldn't say this, but I gotta
careful.
Yeah, okay, never mind. I really just shouldn't spend any money. I shouldn't, but I could buy a fat bike maybe.
You gotta have your secret bike pile of money.
Yes. Yeah. The only thing is, it's easier to hide the pile of money than it is a fat bike in the garage.
The fat bikes are a lot bigger.
Maybe I could store it at the bike shop.
What if I kept my new bike at your house and you kept your new bike at my house?
Oh, and I just say I'm keeping it for Brian, and then you say I'm just keeping it for Larry.
Yeah. When? How long do you think we could keep that up for?
A week. Until the next time Alexa and Amber talk, I don't know.
Just gotta keep them apart for a long time.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I hate to do this, but I do have to go help my beautiful wife with our lovely new child. Craig, any parting thoughts? First of all, thank you so much for coming on. Just like,
No kidding.
I think you're the first guest like I've been the most jealous of. Just like living through that, it just sounds so awesome. Like in the most sincere way, I really think that's just so cool.
No, thanks for having me. I don't have any closing thoughts, but it's been fun to get to know you guys, and I hope to get out and ride and
thanks, Craig.
Snowboarding with you and
anytime.
You know, yeah, I've just been in the right place in the right time of, you know, a few times in my life, and things are good. So
it's been awesome to talk to you, and we'll have to have you on again. Then we'll have you on to maybe kick off snowboard season every year at the very least.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
If Brian doesn't quit the podcast by then.
Oh yeah, we might get in a lull and get bored and then start again. You know, we never know. We'll see what 2021 brings us.
Exactly. Awesome. Right.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Yeah. Craig, thank you so much. Let me know if you guys are going Sunday. I might join you to Cab or Fay. I know Brady was talking about it. We'll see.
We'll keep you posted.
So, all right.
Right on.
Well, it's been another lovely episode of Local Roots. Thank you for listening. And I've been Lawrence Richard Lynch. You can follow me on the internet. Bye.
Over and out.
Oh, I love that. That was perfect.
Hell yeah.
Later, dudes.
Bye.
Bye.